Last week's message in Galatians was called glorying in the flesh, which we saw that is not something we should do, and it's something that false teachers do. They glory in their converts, supposed converts, or their supposed people who follow them. But today we're going to look at glorying in Christ alone. That's who, for the believer, we should be glorying in. We should be glorying in Christ and Him alone, in what He's done for us. Because I'll tell you what He's done for us, saving our eternal souls, is absolutely amazing. And to know that it's God who did that, it's just incredible. It's just absolutely incredible. And we can't really even fathom it. We believe it by faith, but oh my, it's just so much, isn't it? To think that all our sins are forgiven. I mean, every one of them. Every thought sin, every word sin, even sins we don't even know we're committing, which are many. Just as much as word and deed sins. It's all washed clean under the blood. I mean, even the ones that might keep us awake at night. All washed under the blood. Praise the Lord God Almighty. I mean, they're gone. They're gone. That's amazing, isn't it, Brother Travis, to think that we're washed clean, and that God looks at us and sees us blameless and covered in the righteousness of Christ. That's just incredible. It make you excited. Like Brian said on Wednesday, make you want to stand up and shout, doesn't it? But it's truth. It's so true. And oh, how it excites our hearts when we hear that Christ died for us on Calvary's cross, based upon nothing in us, but all by the will of the Father. No wonder we glory in Him alone. No wonder we give Him all the glory, honor, and praise. Right? Oh, my. Praise His mighty name is right, Brother Dave. Yes. He gets it all. Who's getting all the praise in heaven, beloved? The Lord. He's getting it all. There's no one there going, well, I want a little bit. No, they're all giving Him the praise and glory, aren't they? And one day we will too, without sin. Oh, my. Oh, it'd be wonderful, won't it? My, turn if you would to Galatians chapter 6. We're almost done this letter. It's been wonderful. Just been wonderful. Oh, my. Last week we were in verse 11. We saw that Paul wrote the letter to the Galatian churches with his own hand. Oh, my. And this writing this epistle for Paul was a labor of love, because he loved the Galatian churches. The Lord had used him to establish the Galatian churches, so they were very dear to him, very near to him. When he wrote to the Colossians, he'd never actually been to Coloss, but these Galatian churches, he'd been there. He built friendships like we have, not just brotherhood, but friendships as well. He's built that with the different churches. And they're young churches. And they're being influenced by these false teachers now who have come in. And Paul says, I wrote this with my own hand. I didn't dictate it to anyone. I wrote it with my own hand. So that shows us his love and affection for them. It shows the heart of the Apostle Paul and the great concern he had for them. They'd been overtaken in a fault. And Paul was attempting to restore them, knowing that they'd been exposed to the teachings of the false preachers and had fallen into a sinful trap, just like any of us could, right? Just like, look at, I love this in verse 6. Look at this, or verse 1 of chapter 6. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, would ye which are spiritual restore such an one? Don't kick him while he's down. Restore him. Come alongside him. Why? Right? In a spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. My, we're just as prone to sin as any of our brothers and sisters in Christ. We come alongside them, don't we? My, do you know when the Israelites went into the land? I listened to that message, Brother Zane. When the Israelites went into the land, it was a message by Brother Norm Wells. If you get a chance, on Sermon Audio, he started a new series in Judges. Oh, my. But he was saying that when the Israelites went into the land, they were still dwelling with the Canaanites. And he spiritualized that and said, we're still dealing with the Canaanites too. That's our flesh. Isn't that amazing? So we best
not kick our brethren when they're down, right? Because our Canaanite flesh will just rear its ugly head, won't it?
Praise God for forgiveness of all our sins, right? Praise God. Praise God, it's washed in the blood, all our sins. Okay, let's read this. Start in verse 11 to verse 18. You see how large a letter I've written unto you with mine own hand. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law. We looked at that last week. They try to force people to keep the law. They don't even keep it themselves. They don't even keep it themselves. Why? The Pharisees were masters at that. Yeah. But desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. So that's where the title of the message came from last week, that these Judaizers and false teachers will glory in the flesh of those who they supposedly have come to their side or their point of view. But look at what Paul writes. This is our text, verse 14. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me. I'm ruined to the world. Are you? We're ruined to the world, beloved. Oh my. And I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. So what Paul's doing here, he's doing what he did at the very beginning of the letter. He's reaffirming that which he's been teaching throughout the letter, that salvation is in Christ alone, not through circumcision, not through the works of man. And he says, I don't have anything to glory in except in the cross of Christ, except in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's done for me at Calvary's cross. That's the only thing we have to glory in, isn't it? And that's it. That's all we want to do. I remember being in religion, beloved. I remember knocking on doors and thinking, why aren't these other believers doing this? Why? Just so full of self-righteousness, just so full of... I remember that. It was awful. It was horrible. And so when I read this, that's how I feel when I see about them glorying it. Well, I went out and did that. And back then, I was doing it for supposed rewards, which has nothing to do with what the Scripture says. My, oh my. Our reward's Christ. Do we need anything else, Dave? No, we got Christ, don't we? We don't need nothing else, do we? We got everything in Christ. So this glorying in the flesh is just being puffed up. Paul says, I don't got nothing to glory in. And remember, Paul was a genius. I think he was. That man knew different languages. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. We're going to see that when we study Philippians. And he says, all that I just count as dung. Nothing. Nothing. My, oh my. But look at what he's saying here. He's saying, all I can glory in is the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't have nothing else to glory. Why? Why? Well, the answer is in verse 15. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature, born again by the Holy Spirit of God. Look at that. Isn't that wonderful? And what did Christ our King say? You must be born again. I was listening. You know, you guys know I love hockey, and I was listening to this hockey's ministry thing, and they had five different hockey players on there. And I try just to listen, but you know, not one of them mentioned being born again. They said, "Well, I accepted, and I did this, and I did." Not one of them. Said, "Well, when the Lord saved me, and I was born again." Not one of them mentioned regeneration. Because modern, and this is just like this stuff, modern religions replaced circumcision with, you got to repeat this prayer, bow your head and repeat this prayer. And there's no Holy Spirit regeneration. But I'll tell you what, when you're a new creature in Christ, can we testify to this, beloved? When you're a new creature in Christ, hey, I'm born again of the Holy Spirit of God. He saved my soul. He showed me Christ who I never knew. I never knew. And I love what Tom said. One time we were out for breakfast, Tom says, it's a revelation. He has to reveal himself or we don't ever know him. That's right. Yeah? We'd still be dead in sin, brother, if he hadn't revealed himself to us, right? All of us as believers. But praise God, he revealed himself to us. And praise God, we're born again by the power of God, the Holy Spirit. He did it all, beloved. He regenerated us. He gave us faith to look to Christ who finished the work. See, it's a profound message, and yet it's simple, and yet people stumble over it. Because they say, well, what do I have to do? Well, you don't have nothing to do. Just look to Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Do you believe? There's the question, right? Do you believe? Oh, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief, though, Lord. Please help my unbelief, though. But I believe. I'm clinging to you. You're the only one. I'm not going to look anywhere else but to you. And it's so refreshing, isn't it? It's so freeing, isn't it? It's so liberating. See, the Judaizers put these folks under bondage, beloved. You have to do this. Well, you know, and that's religion. Just you can put anything in there that religion tells you you have to do. I'm telling you what, it's awful. But praise be to God. If the Son will set you free, you're free indeed. You're free indeed. We're free, aren't we, Brother Charlie? My, oh my, we're free. Free in Christ. It's wonderful. And it says, and as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them, and mercy, and upon the Israel of God. So we got two more new messages. If you can see, we got the new creature in verse 15, and then we got the folks called the Israel of God. That's God's people. That's his elect. From henceforth, let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul had been beaten 5 times. 39 stripes. They say once will kill a man. 5 times. He bore the marks, didn't he? He was once a destroyer and waster of the church. And God told our dear brother, he's a chosen vessel. Now bring it home, beloved. Every one of God's people is a chosen vessel. Every single one of us. My, that's grace, isn't it? That's mercy, isn't it? That's incredible. So Paul's bringing this epistle to a close, but again, the true author is the Holy Spirit of God. He's moving Paul, and he said, he felt it very important to expose the false teachers and their false doctrine. Look at verses 12 to 13. As many as desire to make a show, fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law. Oh, look at that. But desire to have you circumcised, desire to bring you under bondage. They don't put themselves under bondage, but they desire you to be under bondage. Oh, Paul's saying, that they may glory in your flesh, that they may say, got another notch. Zane tells me a story about when he was in Bible college, and one of his friends, or one of the students in the college, the professor, yeah, had heard that a student didn't witness, right, didn't tell him about the Lord. And so he ran over to that guy, and supposedly the guy made a profession. He said, what did he say? Got another one? Got another crown, right? Another jewel in my crown. That's called glorying in the flesh. If someone's saved, who saved them?
Christ.
Yeah, yeah. Right? Let's give him the glory, eh? Let's give God all the glory. See, these guys were glorying in the flesh. And compelling someone to be circumcised in order to be saved is again, a doctrine of works, right? It's a doctrine of works. It has nothing to do with grace. And again, it just puts people into bondage. So Paul's writing here, and again, the Holy Spirit knows the hearts of men, right? And the minds of men, and he has Paul pen. They don't even keep the law themselves. They desire you to be under the law, but they don't even keep it themselves. Praise God for freedom in Christ, beloved. For freedom in Christ. Oh, and we've seen, and we're going to see in our study of Acts today, that false preachers and their and usually their followers who are not truly saved, they actually hate the gospel of Christ. They don't want anything to do with it. Because, of course, it reveals that what's their teaching is false. Have you ever noticed that we humans, we think we know the way. We think we know how to get to heaven. We think we in our natural state, and we were all there, think, well, I'm a good person. I'm not that bad. And if I just do these things, then surely a God who's God of love won't cast me into hell. You see how man's thinking is so warped? We've all sinned against God. We all deserve condemnation. And then here it is for us. Oh my, praise God. God says, you're not going to suffer wrath. You're not going to suffer wrath. All and there was nothing in us, was there, that made him choose us? As a matter of fact, what was in us would make anyone else go, I want nothing to do with them. And God in love, you're a vessel of honor. From eternity. This is what makes grace amazing, isn't it? This is why Paul said, I can't glory in nothing else. I can't glory in anything else but Christ. Because this, and remember, he wasted the church. He was destroying the church. That's what wasted means in the Greek. He was destroying the church. The people were terrified of him. And then the Lord saves him, right? He's regenerated on Damascus Road, born again by the Holy Spirit of God. How do we know? He called him Lord. Oh, my. I did a sermon years back called, They Called Him Lord. Remember the leper? Lord. You know, the thief on the cross? Lord, just remember me. Lord, he's our Lord, isn't he? He's our Savior. He's our rescuer from our sins. He rescued... Let us think this. In every one of us, let us think this. He rescued me, and you can say I, right, from my sins. Not just a few of them, but all of them. And I'm the one who deserves the condemnation for those sins. I'm the one who deserves the wrath of God for those sins, and yet it all fell on Christ in my room and place. How can I not but glory in God then? Now we see how Paul, think of that with Paul. How can he not but glory in God? What mercy! And that's the same mercy we've received, beloved. The same grace we've received in Christ. All because he shed his blood for us and redeemed us with his precious, precious blood on Calvary's cross. You know, Scripture calls us the ungodly. And Christ came to save the ungodly. Isn't that amazing? God himself, the Holy One, the sinless one, as we looked at on Wednesday, came to save his people from their sins. And he did it, didn't he? Where's he right now? Someone tell me, where is he right now? He's in glory, isn't he? That's right. He's risen. And God is satisfied with that sacrifice. He's raised for our justification. And how can we but not glory in God? How can Paul not glory in anything? How can we not glory in anything but God and God alone? As Brother Henry used to say, the only thing I contributed to my salvation was my sin. I did the sinning, he did the saving. And so I need to be saved from my sins. And God did it through Christ Jesus our Lord and by the regenerating power of God the Holy Spirit. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Yeah, we have a lot to rejoice about, don't we? We have a lot to be joyful. Now, I know circumstances can get us down. They always do, because we're all human. But, Lord, let us look to this. Let us look to the crucified one. Let us look to Christ and know the fact that the work is finished. We're redeemed, beloved. We were redeemed 2,000 years ago. My, oh, my. Turn, if you would, to Philippians. Philippians chapter 3. Oh, my. My, oh, my. Look at this in Philippians chapter 3. Look at this. Verse 17. Start in verse 17. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ. Now what's their end? Well, it tells us here, whose end is destruction, and this would be the Judaizers, if the Lord didn't save them, if the Lord left them in their sin, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. Now, we're going to see that, too, this morning with the Sanhedrin, who Peter and James and John are the apostles are brought before. They're more concerned about power and wealth, their own glory, just like these Judaizers here. Look at this. For our conversation, that's our lifestyle, is in heaven. Do you know our inheritance is already waiting for us? Sealed up. And do you know we're marked by the Holy Spirit of God? We're marked by God already. We're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. We're already done. And our inheritance is there waiting for us, and it's undefiled, incorruptible. Nothing can corrupt it, because it's in Christ. Right? From whence also we look for the Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. We look to our Savior. We're awaiting Him, whether He comes again in our lifetime or when He takes us home to glory. We're just looking to Christ, aren't we? Isn't that wonderful? Look at this. Who shall change our vile body? Just like that. Brother Norm said, death's a portal. Poof. Right in the presence of the Lord. remember Star Trek with the the beam me up thing and all that? We're just going to, you know, but you remember how it used to be where they'd still show the bodies? And then be like that. Just boom, gone. Oh, isn't that wonderful? Oh, my. And God will change our vile bodies, right? That it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able, look at that, able to subdue what? All things. Our God is able to subdue all things, beloved. That's our God. This is, oh, it's wonderful. All things unto Himself. Did He not subdue our wild spirits? Right? Oh, man, He subdued us. And think of this. I want us to think about this, too. And this will make you just give glory to God. How many times has He restrained us? How many times has He restrained us? We don't even know. From falling into sin. Right? From doing something that would have ruined our lives. I believe when we get to glory, we're gonna find out He did a lot more for us than we even realize. Just in this life, keeping us from falling. I'll tell you what, let's just glory in God. Let's just glory in the Lord for the great things He's done. Oh, my. You know, somebody said this, God created us to love people and use things, but sinful men love things and use people. I remember being there. So once again, Paul is now going to set before them that which he's been expounding on throughout this whole epistle. And remember, these Galatians, they're of a Celtic, they're from the Celtic nations, and they came over from England, but they're Celtic, and they're very superstitious, very easily swayed by. Julius Caesar said of the Gauls, he said, "I've not seen a people that can be swayed back and forth, right, to different views." And that's what these folks were. They were Gauls. They were Galatians. And the Celtic folks had come down and intermixed with the people that were in there. And then they're very superstitious. They're very taken away by new things. And here comes a new thing after Paul's been there and preached the gospel and laid a foundation. Here comes a new thing. These Judaizers come in and say, "You have to be circumcised to be saved." Well, some of them are, "Oh, wow, I never, you know." Just kidding. It's in their nature, and it's in ours, isn't it? To be dazzled by things. Keep looking to Christ. Okay, look what Paul does. This is wonderful. Paul's once again going to set before them the one thing needful for salvation. He just keeps, you know what? Henry used to say he plays a one-string fiddle. This is like a carpenter hitting the same nail over and over and over again. You ever have a nail you're hammering and it just won't go in? You just keep, you got to keep on going, don't you? The gospel preacher, we just keep hitting that same nail. Christ, salvation in Christ. There's no other way. Look at this in verse 14 again. "But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world." So we see in this wonderful text that we should just glory in God alone. Now that's the hardest thing for a believer to do, is just rest and trust in Christ, because we're fleshy. We still have the Canaanite, right? Living with the Israelite, right? The spirit and the flesh, they war against each other, right? But look at how he expresses his dislike of one glorying in himself. He uses himself as an example, and he says, "But God forbid that I should glory." This is the Apostle Paul. He had established his churches all over, and he says, "God forbid that I should glory in those things." Nope. And he's bringing forth the fact that he has nothing to glory in himself. And this is true for every one of us as born-again, blood-washed believers, right? We don't have anything to glory in with ourselves. And nothing in our outward worldly privileges, nothing in what we maintained intelligence-wise, nothing. It's all given to us by God. Sovereign grace, salvation, and free grace changes our view of everything, doesn't it? Because he's ruling and reigning. And he's, again, think of what he knows. Think of what he's learned. Think of what he's been taught. And he's going to write a good portion of the New Testament. And he says, "I don't have anything to glory in, save in the cross of Christ." He's not going to glory in his gifts. He's not going to glory in his attainments. He's not going to glory in anything, because he knows that he's been taught by the Holy Spirit of God. He's been given faith to believe. He's been born again by the Holy Spirit of God. And he knows it all comes from him. Without the Holy Spirit regenerating us, we'd still be dead in trespasses and sins. You see? Isn't that amazing? And so the Apostle Paul is being led by the Holy Spirit of God, who again is a true author of Scripture, that the only one we can glory in is the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, in Christ we have perfect acceptance. We are perfectly accepted by God in Christ. Perfect means perfect too. There is no God going, "Well, you know," no, we're in Christ. See, that's the most important thing. We're in Christ. And he's redeemed us perfectly by his precious blood. He's the perfect Lamb of God, right? And if God wasn't satisfied with his sacrifice, he never would have rose from the grave. And now he's the perfect mediator for us between God and man. Right? God tells us this, that he hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. 2 Timothy 1:9. So let us never forget that. Let us never forget that the gospel is an announcement and proclamation of redemption accomplished. It's done. It's finished. How? By the sacrifice of God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, according to God's will, for who? Sinners such as we. How can we not but glory in God? Oh, how can we not but glory in God? Oh, my. Let's read that again. It says, verse 40, but God forbid that I should glory and save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. In other words, he's saying, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Let him glory. Let us glory in the Lord. Why? Well, because Christ dwells in us, because he's our life, because he's our salvation, because he's our redemption, because he's our King. He's our everything, isn't he? He's our everything. And so that being the truth, then the world is crucified unto us. Right? Paul's bringing forth that the world's now dead to him. It's now dead to him. And this gave him boldness. This gave Paul boldness, right? To preach the gospel. He no longer feared man. He no longer feared man. We're going to see that in the book of Acts too this morning. The apostles didn't fear the Sanhedrin. No. Because they said it's better that we fear God than man. Oh my. So let we who are the redeemed of the Lord rejoice. We no longer have to fear the writing of the handwriting of ordinances that were against us. Why? Because they were nailed to Christ's cross. They were whitewashed by the precious blood of Christ. If God be for us, who can be against us? It's God that justifieth, right? Who justifies us? We don't justify ourselves. We can't. But God's justified us through Christ, hasn't he? That's wonderful. I'll tell you what. And because Christ risen from the grave, because all power in heaven and earth is given to him, because he's my righteousness, because he's removed the curse of the law from me, and all that was against me in every believer, how can we not but glory in Christ and Christ alone? There's nothing else for us to glory in, is there, Brother Travis? We got nothing else to glory in. He gets all the glory. He gets all the honor and praise. He saved me. Hallelujah, as David said earlier. Praise his mighty name. My. My, oh my. Paul not only said, because of Jesus Christ, the world is crucified unto me, he also said, and I unto the world. We're ruined for the world. We can't go back into the world, beloved. We may for a while, but God's going to pull us right back out, isn't he? Oh, my. And do any of us want to leave Christ? No. He's the lover of my soul. As Peter said, where shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And by God's sovereign power, Paul became a new creature in Christ. He's born again, which that's what we're going to look at next week. And old things passed away, beloved. Old things passed away. And so the world had no affection for him, and he had no affection for the world. And that's true for us as believers. We live in this world. We partake in the things in this world, but we're looking to go home, aren't we? We're just pilgrims and strangers traveling through this world. Brother Brian, we're going to make it home one day by God's grace and mercy. He's going to take us home. That's wonderful. Oh, it's a promise, Brother Dave, yeah. And like Abraham approved his love by being willing to obey God when he offered up his own son Isaac as a sacrifice. Oh my. Isaac meant more to Abraham than life itself. And our Lord was testing Abraham. In his mind, that Abraham actually did kill Isaac, because remember he said, well, if the Lord's going to slay him, if I slay him, God's just going to raise him up again. So in his mind, he's already thinking, well, that's what, and God will just raise him up. But God said no, because he was just a picture, right? He's a picture of God offering up his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And God didn't say, hold that knife, did he? It was plunged into Christ for us. The sword of God's justice, Spurgeon used to say, the sword of God's justice was unsheathed and plunged into Christ for us. What are we going to say, beloved? Glory be to God, right? Amen. Glory be to God. There's nothing else to glory in but Christ. Nothing else. I finally made it. Nothing else to glory in, is there? My, oh my. Isn't God so good? Isn't he so wonderful? I'll tell you what. Nothing like the Lord Jesus Christ, who saved our eternal souls by the shedding of his precious, precious blood. My. Brother Brian, you want to close us in prayer?